Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, N-God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts. It's your boy, Minister Stevie T. And hey, at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time, I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, what? On what?
The Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
What's wrong with it? What done got into it? What's wrong with black? Lord, I got it in my feet.
freestyling.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, saints of the Most High God. Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Faith Walker. We apologize for the technical difficulties on tonight, but you know, you can't hold us back, amen. We won't be denied, for Emmanuel, God is with us. He is here with us. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into the word of prayer immediately. Amen. We thank you, Lord God, as we come humbly before your grace, Lord God, before your throne, God. We ask that you move mightily on this broadcast tonight, Lord God. Touch the air with those who are assembled around the world via internet, smartphones, iPads, laptops, desktops, Lord God. Everybody in their respectable places, Lord God, touch that leader, overseer, bishops, Lord God, touch your fivefold ministers, Lord God, those who are tuning in, all your gospel artists, all the saints, laymen, Lord God, those who are backsliding, those who are lukewarm, provide a spark, Lord God, just give us a throne room anointing on tonight, Lord God, and shake us, God, shake us to our rightful place, Lord God, line us up, Lord God, make the crooked straight, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you, set a, man, just do a good thing on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we just release angels taking authority, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We take the apostolic authority by your apostle who is assembled on tonight, Lord God, against everything that is not of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We declare, decree, Lord God, that two or three are gathered in your name. You are in the midst, Lord God. Everything is subject to the Holy Spirit at this time. So, Lord God, we just thank you. In the name of Jesus. And it is so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Like amen. I said, you're tuning to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. This is where we empower in multi-dimensional feature and fashion. Every Monday night at 9 o'clock, it goes down. We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers that come on here, and they will tell you about their mantle. We will begin to question them. I do not have a script in front of me. I do not have questions in front of me. We just flow by the anointing. Whatever the anointing questions, that's how we flow. Amen. And we're going to question according to his mantle, the mission, the mandate, in the name of Jesus Christ. So you just sit back and prepare to be empowered. We're going to go into the scriptures, and we're coming from John chapter 6, verse 26. It says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him had God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the hearers of God, holy word, St. John chapter 6, verse 26 through 29. At this time, I bring the very good friend of mine, amen. I met him by the anointing, amen. God hooked this thing up. God, he definitely hooked this thing up, amen. So I just praise God for him, amen. And he come by way of Ridgeland, South Carolina. Eagle Wings International Ministries, very own, amen. He takes apostolic authority sent by the Lord Jesus Christ for such a time as this to set the order, to align people to their proper destiny. He bursts out by the anointing, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So I bring forth the apostle at this time, none other than Apostle Marcus Dupree.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Apostle.
Out there. Yes. Glad to be here.
Man, it's an honor and privilege, amen, to have you on. Once again, amen, this is not your first time. You're back again. Round two, amen.
Amen. That's right, round two. Amen.
Round two, amen. Man, we're going to dive right into it, amen. And
okay.
Know you're a busy apostle, amen. Know many of people that you're just ministering to, and amen in the name of Jesus Christ. But first of all, I want you to just answer a question. What is an apostle?
Like you said, he's a sent one. That word apostle means a sent one. He's someone who's been sent by God. You know, with the prophets and apostles, God chooses those two offices, those who selected the stand and who are sent, who are with the purpose of going forth and establishing a fivefold ministry. He's the apostle is the first in the governmental office of the fivefold. You have, you know, if you like, I think I mentioned this before, but you know, there now is a good time to say it again. If you look at your hand, you can see where the pointer finger is the prophet, the long finger is the evangelist, the ring finger is the pastor, the pinky finger is the teacher, who works close with the pastor because the pastor is married to the church. And then you have the thumb, the apostle, who walks in and has all four of the gifts, all five offices being mixed up the apostle, of course. So the apostle is the one who establishes, he goes sets the order. He has the blueprint of the body of Christ inside of him. That's why when you go to a church, you know, as an apostle, and you see a 2x4 hanging down from the middle of the ceiling, what is that doing there? That's not supposed to be there. You see things out of order, and you have to deal with it, you know. And a true apostle who has the mantle and walks in that call, you just can't be settled with just anything happening in the service, you know, just any kind of thing. You got monkeys swinging through the ceiling and barracudas coming up beside the wall. So something is wrong, you know. Something isn't right. And so
right.
You dare to set the order. And the most plain way to say, the apostle is a delegate. He's the one who walks in the place of someone else in authority. In other words, the apostle, that office and position, when you see an apostle, you should see Jesus because Jesus is the chief apostle.
Yeah.
And when you don't see that reflection, the first commandment of an apostle, the first major responsibility is to love. If you can't show, if you're not showing love, something is wrong with your walk.
Mm. Well, you know what, Apostle? Because I meet a lot of people in ministry, amen. I meet young men coming up to me all the time, says, I'm called to be an apostle. And, you know, you can tell apostle, you know, if you ask me, I do it like the FBI does it. Amen. You can establish the counterfeit. You know a counterfeit by studying the real.
Yeah,
you sit up underneath the real, you're going to know what is not real.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of people in this hour, amen, that wants to be an apostle. They see the power and the authority, and they think they can just throw a title on this thing and just go pass out business cards. It doesn't work like that. What is the mission that God has given you as in his apostle to set you apart from the rest of these apostles that's walking among the land in its present dispensation?
Amen. That's true. And I mean, you know, and the thing is, when it comes down to showing, you know, for you seeing, you have to bear fruit. It makes no sense for you to say that you're an orange tree, but then you're bearing apples. The fruit must match up with the tree. And you got people who, a lot of people who desire and say, oh, I want to be a positive thinker. Just see one or two sides of it. But there's a price that you have to pay to walk in this office, and it's not, you know, it's not a cheap price. I like to tell people when you just imagine being in hell, and this is, you know, Satan have his, you know, his leaders, and he has your picture on the wall. He said, "Want it dead. I don't want him alive. I just want him dead. Forget alive. He is a threat. I need to have him dead. There's no compromising. He must go because of what the apostle carries." That word apostello, it is a Greek word apostello. It means cargo ship. That means we are carrying cargo, precious cargo. Because you carry those other offices, you have the ability to impart. You have to edify. There's a lot the apostle brings. Now, against contrary demand, people like to say that the apostles come take over people's church. That's totally incorrect. Totally incorrect. An apostle, when there's, especially when he's working along with, you know, the pastor, he's supposed to help enforce what the pastor's vision is supposed to be. He comes to help back it up. And matter of fact, if there's any offices or certain things lacking, he helps to impart. He helps to delegate offices as well to make sure whatever that church needs is there. Well, when you kick against the apostles and the prophets, now you have taken away two major parts of the hand, two major fingers of the hand, digits of the hand. Now try with the last three fingers, try and pick up something. Let's see how far you can get.
My Lord, my Lord. So let me ask you something, Apostle. I got to ask the hard questions. All right.
Uh-huh.
Can a woman be an apostle? Straight up.
Yes, yes, she can.
Okay, explain your answer.
Okay, well, I can not show you better than I can tell you. Let's go
okay.
to Hebrews 13. 13. And 13 and 6, I think it is. But amen. It's in Hebrews 13, I think it's 13 and 16. But yes, it actually, there are some female apostles Paul spoke about who worked along with him in the gospel. Romans. That's what it was.
You're talking about Romans chapter 16. You're talking about the one that is, okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, Romans, there's two there sometimes. With that scripture, I kind of get it crossed up every now and then, but, you know, praise God.
Okay.
We're all coming together. But, amen, yes, so women, yes, definitely can be apostles, amen. And though many, Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Well, okay, you can start at verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet, well, that was the main one there. But, yes, there were apostles as well. So, yes, and to be honest, if they, you know, walk in the office of an apostle, then what are the other four?
Okay.
So
I got to ask another question, Apostle.
Uh-huh.
There are brothers, and it's often said that in the scriptures, it says that the bishop should be the husband of one wife. So the Bible's clear on that.
Right.
The Bible's clear on that, although we see many sisters with the title.
Right.
Now, we know that Apostle Paul gave the charge to Timothy. He ordained him as a bishop. The apostolic transfer, as you know, was bestowed upon Timothy. So why is it that an apostle can be a woman, but that a bishop can't be a woman? That seems like kind of all. Can you explain that for those who are listening?
Well, I think just because of the nature and the qualifications of the call, and you basically, in the best way to always look at it is, what does the scripture say about being office of the bishop? And if that's written in the word the way it is, then we can't change that. And I'm pretty sure because, when it comes down to it as well, because the office of a bishop, it's an administrative office. They set up,
right.
You know, they kind of help set up. So being the responsibility like that for the major part that they do, you know, often some have said, you know, as far as a woman can be very emotional and just different. But, you know, they say that, but then, you know, there's a thing called self-control that we all have, the ability to do. But nevertheless, what the scripture said about that, you know, as far as being the husband, being a husband of one wife, so it makes it clear. So we just stick to the word and what the word say. But as far as the office of the apostle, well, how that goes be about? Well, I don't know. And I'll just be the first to say that's a part of the call. And then when you talk about far as the word of God, it's always, like I said, the word of God always have a way of just bringing it all together. And I just stick with the word, and that's the safest place to be, because any other way is going to lead to hours of countless arguing, bickering, vain babbling that leads to nowhere. You know, I've learned that. I had to learn the hard way. Trust me, I had to learn the hard way. But you know, you kind of realize, you know what? What does the word say? And what the word say, it is. You know, God has a plan for everything that He do. And there's a reason, and there's some things we won't find out on this side of glory anyway, to be honest.
Amen. 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. We got the apostle in the building, Marcus Dupree of Eagle Wings International Ministries out of Ridgeland, South Carolina. Definitely want to call in and ask this apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ any questions that's on your heart. You that are on the lines, you can definitely press 1 and chime on in as we're talking about his apostolic mandate. Amen. We just bless God for him being on this broadcast. We also give a shout-out to all his congregation members. Amen. And I believe in Minister T. Amen. All of those saints. Amen. We definitely give a shout-out to them. Feel free to call in at any time during this broadcast, saints, as we go forth listening to the apostle, amen, as he just give his take about his mantle, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what is it about the renegade saints in this hour? There's a lot of saints that are doing their own thing. I hear from God. You can't tell me that's what God showed me. And what I mean is this. I remember years ago when I got saved, amen, been saved about almost 15 years. I remember when I got saved, amen, it was more of structure. Your pastor or your apostle tell you something, that pretty much settles it. People understood that, you know, your overseer, their overseer means they can oversee you. They can see further than you.
Exactly.
God will show you something. God will show you something. But those who have been on this journey, been tried through the fire, they have the ability to see a lot more than what you're seeing. You know, that's like somebody and during Moses' time, the children of Israel come up and say, well, God told me this. And Moses said, what? God talked to me face to face. What are you doing telling you more than me? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? What are some of the things that you've been seeing in this hour concerning people who don't want to submit to authority, to spiritual authority?
Well, few bad apples can spoil a bunch. And really what it comes down to, some people have been hurt, ransacked by some leadership that was drunk on themselves. And so because of a few examples, you know, some people have just gone all extreme to where, okay, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. Well, you still have to listen to somebody. Even though they were wrong for what they did, but you can't put every leader in the same category. I don't trust pastors. Well, that's you're wrong for that, because God put them in order. They put them. He put them here. He gave us this gift,
right.
You know, the pastor, to help to raise the sheep, help feed the sheep. I mean, so you can't try and then you trying to be in authority, but you're not under authority. You're illegal.
Come on.
See, you can't have it your way. See, a lot of it stem off of people being hurt, and that's why a lot of leaders are damaged. Damaged goods, in a sense, because they need to go through the process of being healed, but some don't want to stand still long enough to be healed. In our ministry, we've experienced a lot of the leaders who, some of the people we had the most problem with were leaders. Because they came from other places and were treated one way. And when they come here and we try to tell them, look, we're not holding you hostage. If you say the Lord leads you here, then praise God. But if you also say the Lord leading you to leave, then, well, praise God, we're not going to fight you with that. Oh, it's just like that? You're going to let us go? Well, what do you want me to fight you? I'm not going to fight you. The other leader may have done that, but it's because, first of all, this is a key matter. You are not you're not my member in the sense of you're God's precious people. You know, you're not my people. You're God's precious people.
Right.
See, when we as leaders begin to say, this is my church, my people, now we are stepping out of order because we are the under-shepherd, not the over-shepherd. See, operate in authority, we have to make sure if not, abuse is inevitable. And that's what happens, a lot of stuff because of abuse. And so because of that, you have people who wounded soldiers who are now trying to make their own way because the last pastor they was under had a problem because of whatever insecurities they have. Let me say King Saul and David, to where you have some King Sauls who are frustrated because of David. They had nothing on David's life. Now, David is doing what he do. Well, he can't help because the congregation like David.
Yeah.
Now, why you the man? Without you, the ship can't run. Or you know, you the man. But why are you being insecure about this young David? And so now you're having him always trying to kill, throwing a spear at him, trying to kill his character. And so, you know, that's why a lot of things happen from that point, because of ill feelings from different past experiences. So because of that, then you have the renegades who are giving birth. Now they want to do things on their own way. You have churches who don't have any cover, because they don't want nobody to come take over their stuff because of their experiences. They're being hurt. They're not healed in some areas. Amen.
Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You definitely, those of you who are on the via internet, you can definitely press 1. If you're on the website, you can definitely come and chime in and come and have a chop it up with the apostle. Amen. We're just talking about his mantle. We're talking about church, how it used to be, how it's going to be. We're going in right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something, and it was a question that I posed to Prophetess Yaquanda Payne McCall. It looks like we got a call. It looks like it's bell time. Caller, you are now on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Name, please.
Elder Melvin, praise God. How everybody doing tonight?
Hey, doing
my
good.
Lord.
Doing good.
Oh, glory
my
to
Lord.
God.
Elder, how you doing, sir?
Man, all is well, man. It's a blessing to sit among your brothers, man. Bless your apostle, glory to God. Bless your ministry,
amen.
Glory to God. Yeah,
amen,
Lord,
amen.
I'm just sitting over here. I got my feet crossed, man. I'm excited. I'm looking at the football game, but I had to turn my attention away as I was listening and give me a bite to eat because you guys said something that I know is nowhere but the Holy Ghost that these days you don't see many people in the church touch anymore. And the question that you posed was about the office and the mantle of the apostle, far as the gender, you know, which is awesome. And glory to God, and man to God, you blessed me the way you responded to it, because those are some of the questions that people get away so much from in the church, rather than take the time to live before the Lord or even simply research. Glory to God,
right,
to find out what the word says. Amen.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Not how we speak, not how we feel, because I like you. But what the word says in response to it, and what I see happening is the question goes unanswered, and it becomes a hindrance in the body. And to tag on to that, glory to God, and a question that I hear often, you know, being a minister of apostolic faith myself, glory to God, a question that I often get asked, or get told, you know, for that matter, is that there were only 12 apostles. So my question is, how would you respond to an unbeliever like that, or a misunderstood soul, let me say it that way?
Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's only 12 apostles, then how was Paul 13 or 14? He was two-thirds of the Old Testament, two-thirds of the New Testament. And matter of fact, even when you get to Ephesians chapter 4, now that was after the 12, that was past the 12 apostles, 12 lambs of apostles, lambs of apostles. Apostles of lambs. Lambs 12 apostles. That was after that. He said he gave gifts unto men.
Amen.
Then he goes on to the release the five ascension gifts, which we call fivefold. Amen. But so if that is the case, then why do we still have apostles today? Because now, if we go to that scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to see exactly why God set that in order and he released that to come to pass. Because if it's not a reason for it, God is not going to do it. We serve a God who, he's not a wasteful God. So if there's no need, to give a certain gift, if it has no purpose for it. This is where we're going, 4:11. He said, and he gave some apostles, gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, okay, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, how many saints are perfect? How many saints
that's
are
right.
perfect?
That's
There's
right.
none that's perfect. So if that's the case, we still got a lot of work to do. Okay.
That's right.
So if we go a little further, then he says, for the work of the ministry, okay, how many we still have ministry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then for the edifying of the body of Christ, how much of the body need edifying? A whole bunch. Okay?
Amen.
So he goes on to say, till we all come to the unity. We can stop the we can have church right there. All come to the unity. Let's try to get two churches on the same block to work together. So we come to the place of unity. If we ain't there yet, then we got a long way to go. He said the unity of the faith. We still having Baptists fussing with the Methodists, we could go into this all day long. But here it is, and the knowledge and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We know we're in there. We're not even there. Until the measure. How long is supposed to go on? How long do we need these gifts? Until the measure of the stature and of the fullness of the Christ. So we have not gotten to the fullness of Christ yet. So that's why, yes, we have need for the fivefold ascension gifts, including the apostles, which they don't like to give credit to, but we need the apostles and prophets. Just because of the people, what people don't understand, they fear.
Can I get an amen
on that one?
Amen.
People don't understand the fear, you know, and that's what it comes down to. And, I mean, it's like speaking in tongues. Because they don't understand speaking in tongues, don't you bring that mess to my church.
Come on now. You're talking right about them. Go ahead now.
without the manifestation, I mean, there's some power we miss out on. That's why some people still hook on cigarettes and trying to be in the church at the same time. They have no power. Against sin. You need power. He said when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power.
Power.
That dunamis power. That power to knock the devil out.
You said a key word, Apostle, when you said power, and that's not so much of an argument, but that's always when our fellowship and with my brother Ray, and we sharpen one another. You know, regardless of whether they're the Baptist, Methodist, faith, whatever the case may be. And one of the things that I always tell them is God is still in the healing business. God
yes,
is still
is.
In the deliverance business. He's still in the business of setting people free. But why has it not happened? Simply what you gentlemen are talking about tonight, people are not only recognizing the offices, they're not recognizing how the offices should be carried out. And then mm-hmm. when you do have someone that's worthy to walk in the office, they will talk against the office and say the office is not to be. And then they wonder mm-hmm. why ain't nobody getting free or why the, so many are still sick among them, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm a big advocate, glory to God, of reviving the church to a point where people can get out of wheelchairs and walk across the floor again.
Well, come on now. You're
amen,
talking about
amen,
I'm telling
amen.
You.
And when you mentioned the 411, and I always tell the people, you know, when you want information on your phone, you dial 411. If you want information on the 54, is Ephesians 411. Amen. And I'm glad you touched on it. And I'm glad
I like that.
I like that.
I like
I'm
that.
Using that one.
I like that.
I'm using that one.
And people don't understand. And when you say unity, unity is what brings the healing.
Yeah.
That day on Pentecost, they all were on what? One accord. Amen.
One accord.
You know,
one place.
I just got my feathers going here. I'm just excited. I believe that's a peace word for the nations right now. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Where
the church can get restored. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You know what, Apostle? You know what, Apostle? I felt it come in my spirit. Won't you tell the elder, what is the job? Are you an apostle? What's the job of an elder in the fivefold ministry?
Well, definitely to assist the pastor to walk. Because, see, the elder is pretty much can walk as a pastor, you know, and pretty much function as. See, he definitely a help to the pastor and, you know, work even in association with. They can do pretty much everything a pastor do, except, you know, I mean, just don't have the damn pastor. But that just too depends on what fellowship, because mine is actually before my wife became stepping into the prophetic office, she was walking as an elder. And we both actually used to be elders. And you basically have a lot of the same responsibilities as a pastor, because you can function as a pastor, you can marry, do a whole bunch of stuff, but you help teach the flock. You help, you know, nurture the flock along with the pastor. You work hand-in-hand with them, you know. You have elders. See, when you have elders, that means that's, you should have some wisdom on that side working with you. Then, too, ability as well to take up the slack. That's why some pastors are pushing the dangers early, because they try to do everything in one-man show all by themselves.
Oh,
that's why we establish with elders to help to share the load. You know, matter of fact, if we go to the book of Acts, deacons are supposed to be preaching the word. How many deacons know how to work? Okay. So, you know, so when you talk about, that's why when the church is out of balance, that's why we have shipwrecks. Because you have, now you got somebody, okay, even for the fact of when you take away the apostle and the prophet from the scene, now you have a stagnant church. Why? Because there's no revelation, and there's no manifestation, and also there's no order. There's no, at least the type of order is going to help advance the body going forward. Well, matter of fact, let me break it to you like this. Without the apostle, you have a roof over your head. You can't go no higher.
Oh, Jesus.
See, because when you have the apostle over you and operating under that same function, now the roof is extended up on out. Or matter of fact, just take the whole roof off. Go as far as God can take you. But we can't take you no place where you can't go.
That's good, Apostle.
So, amen, you know, it all works together. But see, that's what, once again, the unity, it comes back to unity. When we understand, our condition, then we can change our position.
Come on.
See, as long as we walk around damaged or crippled, we can't be effective the way we need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why Jehovah's Witnesses and some other different religions are coming up stronger, because the church, we can't get it together. We can't lose with all the stuff that we got to use. We can't lose, but it's ineffective if we can't work together. It was built to work together. Every association should have an apostle work linked up, because as long as we have an apostle, we can keep going up.
That's right.
Remember, he's like Jesus in the earthly realm for us. You know, and now that's not for him to take it in his head and say, I'm Jesus. No. But because of the anointing, it's not the man, but it's the anointing that makes the difference. The office call. The mantle. So glory to God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Just to piggyback off you, amen. When you was talking, Apostle, I just saw Jacob's ladder, amen, with the apostle. The apostle, Jesus told him, Nathaniel, he said, I see, soon you shall see, angels descending and ascending, amen, upon the Son of, by the Son of Man, amen. So we just seen, amen, the apostle is that ladder, amen, that extends from the earth realm to heaven, amen, the authority, the access, that roof that you was talking about, amen, that comes off. The apostle has the ability to take, my God, the roof off of that place.
Yes, sir.
And lift everybody in that place to heaven. My God. Have a throne room anointing. My God.
My God.
To reach on down and ignite a fire in the place.
Lord,
my
God.
My God. My God, God, I bless
you. Amen. But you know, when I was affirmed a couple months ago, we also have what we call a staff, the shepherd staff.
Yes.
I actually have a staff right now that if you look at me, you probably think I'm Moses. But and I'm actually, every time I minister, now, I went to did a two-night revival in Fayetteville, North Carolina, a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord said, I want you to take that staff with you, and I want you to minister with the staff in your hand. I said, Lord, you know these people will trip out. You know they're going to trip out, right? I said, okay. So when I got there that first night, and I said, I know y'all wonder who's this man with this big stick in his hand. Is this, I bust out laughing. I said, I can tell you. I feel it in the spirit. I said, but let me give you a little education about the staff. And so I began to tell them how this staff has been anointed for my hands because of the anointing. Because if you was to just come grab this, it would be dangerous to you because of the warfare that comes along with the staff. And warfare, and of course, so. But now, the staff is an extension of the hand of God, and when it's used in the purpose that it's used for, that's why when Moses stretched out, you know, things didn't happen until Moses stretched out his hand, his rod over the water, then everything began to move, because it was an extension of the hand of God. So even as I'm talking, as I'm ministering right now to you, I have the staff in my hand. It's become a part of me. I've now sold out to the fact of every time I minister, the Lord said, every time you minister, even if it's on a conference call, wherever, you have the staff in your hand, because every time I'm anointed, every time the anointing comes upon you to minister, that word, the anointing is also going freshly upon. The staff has already been anointed. That's even more being glistening with his presence. So the staff is anointed. And even when we had people, come up, I had the people grab the staff, and then I would pray for them, because now I've given instruction for them to grab. But if they try to have, it's not for anyone's handle without being my own. So amen. So I've learned to be different and be comfortable in my own skin. Amen.
347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. We have Apostle Marcus Dupree of Eagle Wings International Ministries, also joined by, amen, Elder Magwood of Indian Creek, amen, who serves under Apostle Kenneth Broughton, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're just sitting here chopping it up, amen, going or doing a round table, and it got a good fire going too. Got a good fire too. Don't you get on in this fire? Amen. Press one, get on in here, amen. Get warm, amen. You ain't got to be on the outside. You can come on in and get warm, amen. There's not a question, amen. Everybody is God said, God approved in this particular cipher here, amen. You come and get warm, amen. Get your questions answered on tonight, amen. You got the apostle in the building. You got the elders, amen. You got the minister in the building. Definitely able to be of service to you in any questions that you may have concerning marriage, concerning apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, elder, bishop, deacon, the roles, the order that being set. Or maybe you want to know more about the apostolic mantle. You think you're an apostle? Ask him. We got one right here. You ask him, amen. He'll tell you. You think you're a prophet, amen? Definitely answer that for you. Amen. You think you're a pastoral eldership? My God, you got an elder right here, amen. So if you want clarity on tonight about your divine destiny, you can definitely call in tonight, amen, and get some answers that you need. Get yourself equipped, amen. That's what the apostle just said just now about Ephesians chapter 4, amen, the equipping of the saints, amen. Equipping of the saints, amen. You got three in the midst of you right now, and God is in the midst of us, so we're going right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, okay, apostle, what would you say is the thing that is lacking in the churches as you've been going around doing the preaching, some of the things that's been really holding ministries back from going to the next level?
You know, unity, pride has been a weight. Because I say unity because, first of all, we are the body. We're not pieces of a body working together.
Yes.
You know, and we act like pieces of a body. I got my thumb over here. You got your thumb over there. You know, come on, we got to work together. Then is a lot of fear. Because some people, I don't want to work in this church because I think he would take my members. Oh, look, first of all, let's deal with that. You know, it is not your members from the spot. And so that door works two ways. People come in, people go out. Look, just feed them. That's what you do, feed them. As long as you feed them, they will come. Oh, God. But, yes, that's one of the major things. There's a hoarding spirit I've seen with a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders who feel they want to have a bunch of people hoarded under the ministry and sit as, but not realize, look, there should be no reason why these people who are ministers or leaders in your church, they should get their first time preaching outside and never in the house first. I think that's crazy.
Jesus.
There's no reason for a leader in our ministry to be speaking outside first before they speak in here, at home.
Damn.
Because this at home is where they need to be loved at. Okay, if you Aaron, I can pull you in the sidewalk. I can now, have a talk with you later. You did good with this hair. We can work on this hair. Hold it a little longer. Let this hair go. Whatever. We represent God. Daniel operated in the spirit of excellence. So much so that the enemy couldn't find nothing against Daniel.
My God.
And we send people out unprepared, and here does the enemy have a field day, slaughter. Now they want to walk away from the gospel. They don't want to preach no more because they had a horrible experience. Well, whose fault is that? Whose blood? Whose hand that blood is going to be on?
Yes,
the pastor.
Yes, yes.
Because you send the man out, have
no, you're
a big
right
ass and you send them out to the slaughter. And so here it is. Now when they want to walk away, well, brother, come back. Well, you ain't help them. So you gotta prepare the people of God. Give them a place. Give them a voice. The leaders, like I said, even the prophetic, the church I went to do the two-night revival, that Sunday morning I went to church with them for our service. They had some young prophets, a couple of young prophets there, and they gave them they gave them an opportunity to release their prophetic gift. How are you going to perfect it? How are you going to know how God can use you if you never have an opportunity to be used?
Amen.
So here it is, you're trying to get something to happen, but you've got to train the people of God. And you can't be inferior or have these insecurities going on with yourself. Look, you are the pastor. Mm-hmm. Then be the pastor. You're the pastor.
Amen.
Be the pastor. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. 347-945-5416 The phone line's on fire. Amen. You can definitely get in on this conversation. Amen. We haven't caught up in here. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We were sitting around the fire, just building. Amen. Elder, you got any question for the apostle? Amen. Or just going back to you? Amen.
What, man, the apostle is hot. The apostle is on fire right now. Glory to God, man. And he's talking right, man. I heard the analogy. I heard when he was speaking about the feeding the people. Glory to God. And the analogy that hit my mind. Glory to God. And I don't like to use the term dogs when we speak about people. But if you go back to the Old Testament, when they referred to the Gentiles as dogs, glory to God.
Right.
And then,
yes.
And then if we were to stay there, I would just stay simply with the unbeliever, or the untaught, or the unlearned, if you will.
Yes.
And being a country boy, and I know that whenever I go out my back door and I set food out there for my dog, glory to God, every time I open that back door, I know he'll be there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But if it gets to a point where I don't open that back door no more, if I don't feed no more, he gonna go to somebody else's back door.
Okay.
And if they begin to eat there, glory to God,
Lord,
it'll come for a time when I go to their house, I'm gonna see them camped up around that door, glory to God. So, so the it is what you said, just to piggyback and to ride the wave with you, glory to God. That's exactly right. And what and what happens there, it began to bring division. And glory to God. Now I don't want to go to the church across the street because they're stealing my members. All they're stealing your members are your members simply thirsty and they're seeking something to drink. Or they simply hungry and they're trying to find something to eat. Because I'm sorry, brother. If I'm hungry, I'm going to find something to eat. Whatever else going on, I can like you. But if I'm hungry, I'm gonna cut it off, brother. I'm gonna holler at you a little bit later. But I got to go get something to eat, and that's the same way we are in the spiritual realm. And a lot of people ask, how do you know that you're hungry? It's simple. It's suffering. You can feel the lack because you begin to feel depressed. You find your mind is staring off into places where you can't even find, you can't even recognize your own self. Glory to God. I have seen people, and y'all can attest to this. Sometimes you just walk and look at somebody, look at them, they're standing off in the space. They're standing off in the space. They have nothing on the inside to feed off, to give them a pleasant look on their face, to give them a smile, to give them a expression of a joy or excitement, because they have nothing to feed off. What's the job, glory to God, of the ministry? The ministry is to put that in place. And I believe with Jeremiah, when God told him to eat the scroll, he didn't tell him to eat the scroll, to eat that paper or that lambskin or something that they rolled. He wasn't telling him to eat it just to taste it because it had honey or something on it. He didn't tell him that. He wanted to know because he needed him to get nourishment. He needed him to get something in his belly that later on, glory to God, he had something to go back to. And glory to God. And then so that word, my God, and I am a diehard fan of that word and that teaching. Glory to God. I heard a minister, glory to God, and I'm going to stop talking in a minute. I heard a TV evangelist spoke, and I think it was Joseph Prince, if I'm not mistaken, and he said, you know, it's one thing you can preach and talk somebody happy, but after that smile go and after the dust settle and they're back to the norm, what else do they have to hold them?
Jesus.
Glory to God. True. So yeah, I can say a lot of things and I can probably lie to you about you go get a car next month and I know you about to get the taxes, so you're gonna have money anyway, glory to God. So I can probably lie to you. Get money in your future and I know you get paid on Friday, of course. I can make you feel real good, Jesus.
Elder, I know you got everybody across the world rolling on that one right there. Now, that's proper lie, one-on-one.
True.
You just educated people, too.
What? Amen. And that's what it's all about, man. And I had a young prophet that always tell me, you better get some discernment. So every time something come up or someone speak to me and I realize they're lying to me or trying to get over me, I always hear her voice in the background. You better get some discernment. And glory to God. And that's
Amen.
What people God have to do, not get discernment. We already have discernment. We simply got to tap into it.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
That was
exactly.
already built in, glory to God. That's part of our foundation of our soul. When he breathed that breath of life, so that's something that got passed along, so it's there. You know what I mean? So it's up to us as ministers and elders and apostles and the gifts of the body, glory to God, the bill on that, glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, I got my ass burning. Glory to God. I thank God for y'all tonight. Glory to God.
Amen. I'm telling you. But, I mean, but it's true, though. I mean, you know, just bottom line, man, we have to do because a lot of people are dependent on us to do our part, you know, and that's why it's a shame. You know, I've counseled so many people that's not even our members that belong to Eagles Wings, God's members. It's amazing. And I laughed in the back of my mind and I'm like, Lord, you know, it's amazing how many people are coming to counsel that is not even of this fold. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm spending more time with other people flogged than mine. I mean, as far as, you know, when I talk about counseling, you know, I'm counseling one of the other people, but the thing is, it trusts me about it. But I don't look at it like that because the fact of the matter is I see someone in need. And, and because we are part of the body, that means we all should be able to jump in and pitch in and help whatever someone is. If we don't just, well, that ain't my member, so I'm not going to help them and watch them go down, that's not God. If you
my
see
God.
Someone needing it because you just see when someone needs help, if God has graced you with the ability to help them. I mean, Grissom, you got, that could be you next. You don't ever know. So you want somebody to step in and help you, especially in not look at the pit. Don't be small-minded. Okay, you're not part of my church. Look, you're in the body. And this is the other thing with people leaving the church and the pastor preaching on it. Well, yeah, see, yeah, we experienced that too. When we left the church, the pastor, because we were already leaders, because they knew we were leaders.
Amen.
Pastor had a meeting, called the leadership in, don't help them, don't do nothing. Well, what in the world, what's wrong with that? Just because we're going forward to do work for the Lord, we ain't going to go and start no cult, sacrificing no cow and lambs. We go and do the work of the Lord. So what's the problem? So, you know, but these insecurities, so you mean to me, you feel that threatened by us that you have to call the leadership together and tell them don't help them do nothing? Come on, that's not wisdom. And make, matter of fact, you make yourself look silly by doing that. Look,
amen.
Just do what God can you do.
I was just going to slip a question in there. I know you're rolling, Apostle, amen. I just wanted to slip a question in there for you, amen.
Uh-huh.
Because you said something that quickened me just now. Now, what happened to being led, to the people of God being led by the Spirit of God? Now, you as an apostle, you walk in the street, God tell you, I want you to ordain that person right there. I've called them to be an evangelist. And you be like, what you going to tell God? They don't go to my church? You see what I'm saying? What happened to the people of God using discernment? Don't care about whether they're in your ministry. Just do the work. But God, I didn't train them. God said I trained them. Now go ahead and ordain them, and you tell them then to submit themselves either to you or to another apostle.
Right.
What happened to that? Because I noticed to the people overseas, they live by a different creed. It's the same Bible standards, amen. But they do things like, look, I gotta do what God called me to do. I don't have a church for 200 miles. It might take me 3 days to get there. You understand what I'm saying? You understand?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Right.
What have a situation ever occurred where somebody came in your church and God, and you know, you may have seen this. If you ain't done it, you might have seen this, where somebody just came in and God said, that one right there, Elijah and Elisha experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Now, the thing is with the Elijah and Elisha experience, and even with that experience too, if you notice, he had to walk with Elisha for a little while before he caught the mantle.
Yeah.
Because proving out and make sure, because you know what, when you're talking about receiving that mantle, if they're not ready, it'll kill them.
That's right.
Because you know, if they got, they can have the gift, they can even have the call, but if the character can't hold them, is going to cause a big fall. I never said
that's
that
right.
Before. It sounds good. Praise God. But, but, you know, even that. So then, too, you have to allow them to be tested and approved by God. It is in the sense of, now, not saying, now, please, don't get me wrong, because I was at the other church for 7.5 years and didn't go any further. I was like, you know what, it's time to get out of here. That's ridiculous. Now, not saying it's a case like that. No. But you want to make sure, because it's not necessarily a time, but knowing that they're spiritually mature and understand what's being presented to them or what's being done. The Bible says don't lay hands suddenly on someone. Especially that's talking about when you ordaining, placing people in the office. Because some people will walk with you long enough to get you to lay hands on them, and they're gone.
Kill.
And you know, yeah, as quick as you can hold your hand back there out the door.
It's
like, you know, and then it's, you know, that's not proper, because especially if there, you know, guy, you don't have this con, like say Elijah, you know, you're supposed to walk with me, you know, God sent you here. Then as soon as I'm laying hands on you, once that's finished, now you go, you have a revelation, you need to go somewhere else. That's wicked. That's wicked. So sometimes people, and so that kind of stuff makes some pastors hold back. Now, that's why you have to trust the Spirit of God in you. And you have to really hear from God before you lay hands suddenly on somebody. Because you have to make sure, okay, God, I know they might have the gift, all of that, but are they ready to receive this? Because once I lay hands on them, I can't take it back. So even with wisdom, but now at the same time, you can't be someone who can sit there and hoard people either. No.
Yes.
Let the people, let them grow. Let them fly. Come on. Let them kick them out the nest. Make them fly. I mean, that's how ego do it. You kick them out the nest, and baby, if you don't catch it after a while, you will die. Just fly. Go. You know, you have to do that. Give them room to grow. And some people don't do that. They try to suffocate the people, and they can't grow like that. But, hey, man, I agree with you there. They have to be, you know, don't be afraid. Don't let fear cause you to hold back on everything, on everyone.
Amen.
And just because you had experience with JoJo up the street, that doesn't mean you should treat Harry the same way because of what happened with JoJo. You're punishing Harry for what happened to him. I mean, you punishing JoJo for what Harry did. You can't get to Harry, so you're punishing JoJo for it. That, he didn't do anything.
Amen.
Lord,
what's that? 347-945-5416. Amen. Is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. You got about, I'll say we got about 20 more minutes, if that, left on this broadcast. We are also joined by, amen, man of God, anointed man of God, Elder C. Magwood, amen, of Indian Creek, amen, underneath the Apostle Broughton, amen. Shout outs to him and all the things there. I wanted to ask you something, Apostle. Where is the evangelist? Have you seen any lately?
Oh, you know what? That is, huh? You hit something there. I don't, you know, Lord have mercy.
Huh?
Jesus.
Talk to me,
Apostle. it's a scarce commodity out there. I don't know what's going on, but you're right. Everybody is trying to be an apostle or prophet now, so, you know, I mean, I guess it's the end thing now, you know, or pastor, but, you know, we need the evangelists to help bring them in, you know? I mean, you know, but I think what it is, too, a lot of people, you know, because people don't know how to evangelize. And I think that's part of the thing, too. You have a lot of people who are called to evangelize, but they don't know how to, or they're not trained. And so what ends up happening, you have people hiding in the corners in the church, evangelism all over them, but they just, you know, hide away, and the shepherd needs to seek the Lord about what to do with them. And once again, when you have people just hold them at not, come on, just get these people out the door, begin to go win some souls. And see, you don't have people out there like that. Now, they're not winning. They're not going out there witnessing like they used to. At one time, there's no question. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses running circles around us when you come to witnesses. What's wrong? Why? They don't even have the kind of food that we have, the food that we're giving them, the teachers. But the fact of that is, they're out there. And we cannot even argue that fact. They're out there. Saturday morning, who knocked on your door? Okay. So.
you know what? It's funny you said that, Apostle, because, man, I opened my door one day, man, and I just, you know, I like talking to Jehovah's Witnesses because, you know, I like to try to convert them by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But I like talking to them jokers. You understand what I'm saying? And what I sat down and found out, it blew my mind by Jehovah's Witnesses. They preaching the message of the kingdom now.
Oh, yeah.
They preaching the message of the kingdom. And I said, wow. And I noticed more and more Christians are becoming Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
I know it's more so now than ever. Usually you hear about Joker two or three about them. They ain't come waiting, come knocking on my door. And I go in the room and hide. I mean, now they're coming out the room and they opening the door and they leaving with them.
Because they can't argue the fact because they're reaching out. See, that's where the church is missing.
Amen.
Listening, because they're reaching out. Look, after a while, people try to, they're run from for a while. But you know what? After you get tired of being rejected, after you get tired of being, you go to church and you get looked at funny, after you get tired of being talked about when you come in and made it feel uncomfortable, Jehovah's Witnesses may not look too bad after all.
Amen. Amen. And you're talking right, too, man, because if you don't mind me interjecting, my mom was a Jehovah's Witness. Gloria, she studied with Jehovah's Witnesses and got baptized and everything. To that effect, all the way to the point where she lost a battle to cancer, and one of the effects of that was refusing to have a blood transfusion. And glory to God. So on that note,
yeah.
I did a lot of studying with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they kind of go back to what we were initially saying about the saints being hungry. And there's not many religions out there that has a teaching program and ethnic setup like Jehovah's Witnesses. They are very strong on teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And to that effect, that means they're very strong on feeding you. Amen,
yeah.
Amen. And what happens,
amen.
We have so many people that's hungry, they're not fed, and whether they're getting fed proper doctrine or not, they just want something to eat.
Exactly.
Amen.
Oh,
amen. And when they get there, glory to God, you got, and what a lot of people don't know about them, and I always tell a lot of people in that, and I tried to, in the church, the Coptic church, even practice it somewhat now. What they do is they have, before their initial core Bible study, each person has a cell Bible study to their house. And the cell Bible mm-hmm. study to their house, every person in that circle, and they set it up just like, what was it, King Arthur or something, a night where everybody sits at the round table? Everybody mm-hmm. sits in a circle, and every single person, no matter how old or how young, has to read a part of that mm-hmm. lesson all the way around. And so, so even the little children, they get experience on reading and things along that line, and then after that, as far as reading the lesson, of course you go to teaching it, and then after they take that same lesson on their, it used to be Thursday nights, they go down to, well, they don't call it the church, they call it the hall. They go down to the hall, and then they have the corporate Bible study on the same thing. So how exciting would it be for a child to get ready to ask a question that they know the answer to, that they already have on a Tuesday night cell meeting? You see what I'm saying? So that's a technique, and this is just set aside from the doctrine itself, but just a simple teaching technique that they practice that hungry people out there, as we spoke about earlier, are flocking to because of that. You know what I mean? So what does that tell us? You know what I mean? In the church, in the apostolic faith, and the glory to God in the fivefold ministry, glory to God in the Christian faith. Glory to God, we need to sharpen up our teaching.
Yeah.
I know we get huff and puff, and I know we get excited, we can do all those things, but at the end of the day, what did they get?
Right.
When can they go home and tell somebody, the pastor said this, or taught me this today?
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah, amen?
Amen.
You know what? And you said a mouthful and a half. I mean, two mouthful actually, because that's why, and that's why Eagles Wings, this is what we offer. You know, of course, Bible study, we teach, I mean, like I said, you know, if we teach an hour, it's probably, you know, probably an hour, maybe a little more. But the fact of the matter is, when you leave, my 9-year-old daughter, she comes to me almost every other week or every other week and said, Daddy, look how many pages of notes I took as you preached today. My 9-year-old daughter.
Wow.
She got a page and a half, one whole front side and some of the other side. But a 9-year-old taking notes.
Wow.
The thing is, this is the whole point. With my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Come
because
on now.
Look at, like I said, you whoop and holler, but when after the church is over, after the song is sung, who's knocking at your door? Little George Johnny Brown. Hey, girl, what you got? What you doing? See, you ain't got no word to stand on.
My
head is weak. And
there
now
you
find yourself in situations again. So see, that even with the Bible study, even the Sunday teaching, then even too with leaders. Okay, we will have training because you need to be trained.
Amen. Said, glory to
you
God.
Can't,
yeah.
There's nowhere an athlete can be next to the NFL without no training. You have to have training. Go through the ranks. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Because,
I mean, you know, I know you have some people who may skip college, but yeah, there still has some developing to do.
That's right. You're talking right.
They may be good on the court, but socially they're behind.
Glory to God.
You know, or not behind, but they're not where they need to be. So even
Amen.
That, you can't skip ranks. And like I said, teaching is very essential. That's why I look at it. I'll tell you, I'm not a preacher by heart, but you know what? The Lord has been making me eat that a little bit. But, I mean, you know, I can get a little. Lord, I said, you know, I told my wife, she said, you ain't to see. I said, oh, God, don't tell me that. But, you know, but still, foundational, we teach. And that's one thing like I told someone before, if I have an opportunity to prophesy to 5 or 6 people, I would rather teach you the Word of God first.
That's right.
Because that word is going to find you wherever you are because of the prophetic anointing, especially apostolic, because of that anointing. One person can walk into the church and change the whole message.
Amen.
I mean, David, so many times I work hard, got my nice script down, I did my Hebrew and Greek, been looking at it. God said, scrap it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, right, I mean, what?
That's about right.
Jesus. And so next thing you know, I'm starting to teach, and the people come up, man, I need it out on the way here. I was just thinking, I said, Lord, okay, all right, you got me. I see why. You know, but you understand. But you got to get the people what they need. You got to be able to teach them. Teaching, because of the lack of teaching, that's why you have people very emotional. Sit them down for a while. Let them listen. Take some notes down. Go back. Look at it later on. Go back and dig some more. And when you dig some more, God will give you more. But if you ain't hungry, a man who's not hungry, he's not going to eat. A man who's not thirsty, he's not going to drink. And I'm going to slow it down right now. I'm like, hey, Lord, have mercy. But yeah.
Hey, God.
Yeah.
My Lord, my Lord. I want to continue this. My Lord, I want to continue this. And this has been the fastest hour.
Oh,
on radio. My God. Apostle, clear your calendar, amen. You'll be back for round three, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. We're already going to have to book you and bring you back,
my
amen, because it's been the fastest hour on radio. My God, seems like I just got on here. My God.
No.
Listen, let everybody know where you're at. You be holding conference call lines. That is going out throughout the nation. You have a little bit of everybody calling in and for this wonderful ministry and what you're doing out there in the Ridgeland area, amen. And God called you to set the order out there, amen. And it's definitely needed out there. It's definitely needed out there.
It's work.
Yeah, it's work out there. I see why you out there, amen. you on a mission out there.
My God.
You on a mission out there. I know that's God. So I bless you. Go ahead and let everybody know where you at, Apostle.
Amen, amen. We're in Ridgeland, South Carolina, locally, and we are currently right now. We actually still kind of looking at the location as far as actual building and getting started again, and you know, because we had a place we were working with before, but the people who had the place they left. So anyway, long story short, so we actually kind of reestablishing as a local, but right now we're doing a lot of conference calls. As well as, right now we have 21 days of breakthrough going on. And every night we've been getting together, and we're at day nine. We just had day nine tonight. We come together for at least an hour, and we pray, and then, of course, we handle prayer requests. If God's been blessing, He's been moving. The Spirit's been awesome. So we have 21 days of breakthrough going on. And also we have Sunday service as well as Bible study. And we have Sunday service at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And Bible study is 7:15 Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday night. And is during this 21 days, we're going to have just the 21 days of breakthrough going on. And the number for both of those services are 218-862-6789. 218-862-6789. And the call the code is 448-073. And once again, I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree. My wife, she's Prophet Dupree. Amen. And God is doing a great work. And I'm just excited about it. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. He's been dealing with us some youth conferences and different things like that. But whatever it takes to go out and do the work of the Lord. Amen. So, you know, that's what we're about. We feed the flock. I mean, you know, we meet for like 2 hours on a Sunday, and even on a Tuesday, maybe an hour, have 2 hours. But I guarantee you one thing. We won't have a whole bunch of German dabble going on, but it's going to be a lot of word. If anything, you will get some word. You will get fed. Right? We ain't playing around with that. You don't have no malnutrition people walking around the house now. You'll make sure you get fed. I don't see your ribs and all like that going on. What you eat, lady? No, I ain't had nothing to eat, you know. I'm fasting, no. No, we want you to eat. So, amen, so you can get fed the word of God, and we want you to grow. That's the biggest thing. God has called us to train leaders, teach leaders how to serve. We are servants first. The higher you go in rank in the office, a few weeks ago before Thanksgiving, it was 8 days in a row after preaching. 8 days in a row. The bottom line is this. The higher you go in the rank, the more you should serve, not the more you should be served.
Lord,
that's right.
Uh-oh.
That's
the
right.
more you should serve, the higher you go in the Lord, the more you should serve. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Then who are you? Why can't you wash that toilet bowl out?
Right.
Stop right there. Stop right there. But go ahead
and right, Apostle. That's right, Apostle.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Look here, Apostle. I'm going to be contacting you again real shortly, amen, because I got to set this up, man, and get you back on here, amen. Phone lines off the meat rack, amen, as they say in the country, off the meat rack. We thank you to come through, amen. We thank you
amen.
For joining us.
I enjoy myself. My God, anytime. I'm telling
man,
you, I love it.
Man, this is what we do, man. We already know. We talked on earlier this morning, man, and God did a lot of things on there, man. I said, man, we cheat the people right now, amen. We taking a sip already. We already sipping on living water, amen. I praise God. I contact you, and then you said, okay, prophet. I said, God Almighty. I said, man, I can't sneak nothing by him, amen. I try to come in under the radar, amen. He still caught on to me. I said, all right,
yes,
man.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
No problem.
Praise God.
Amen. Y'all make me feel very, very much at home, and I tell you what, if I can keep my shoes on, I'm pretty sure my shoes will be just kicked right off right now and just enjoying it. I'm telling you, loving it. Loving it. Amen.
Amen. And you just heard the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Brought to you by Enterprise Media Group, sponsored by On the Spot Nathan. We definitely thank Pastor Hill for doing a wonderful job behind the scenes, running everything. Amen. We thank God for him. We also like to give our shout-outs to Pastor Shula, all the saints, amen. Definitely all the Zoomer heads out there, amen. My God, everybody on that Zoomer right now, amen. And, man, that Zoomer doing it to folks, amen. Got preachers preaching for about 3 hours on that Zoomer water. My God almighty, man. That Zoomer doing it to you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you better Google that Zoomer. My God, that Zoomer doing it to him. And I know Pastor Hill, he about to go and get a case and probably Instagram it or something and put it out there because he's faithful distributor, man. And so we thank God for Zoomer, amen. Also, we thank God for the former heavyweight champion of the world, James Bone Crusher Smith, amen, for definitely working with us at On the Spot, amen. We thank God for him, amen, and just definitely all that he does, amen. He got a fight coming up June the 14th, amen, next year in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He's doing a charity for the kids up there. We was building with him a couple of weeks ago when I interviewed him, and also Pastor Hill as well interviewed him. Man, he's having a charity for kids, amen, up there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So definitely set yourselves apart for that. All my church's listeners out there, y'all set yourselves apart for that because the former heavyweight champ, I'll call him champ, amen. He ain't going to knock me out, amen. I have to send them angels on him, amen. But but definitely champ is calling all the men. He's a man of God, though. Seriously, he's a man of God, amen. He's in the 60s, amen. And look, champ still got it. My God, champ still got it, man. He's a kingdom man, too, so definitely support him. Get your church buses ready. Go out up there. He said somebody getting knocked out for the kids. I said, okay, well, you go ahead and do it, champ. He laying them out. He said somebody getting laid out, and they ain't going to lead them to Jesus. I said, all right. They got to be conscious for you to lead them to Jesus, though. My God on Zion. So definitely set yourselves apart for that, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the South Carolina users, if you want a good cell phone, go to Low Country Cell Phone, amen. Elder, he got you. Him and his wife, the prophetess, amen. Go ahead and get that information out too, so they can reach you if they want to get plugged in, page 1 plus.
Amen.
Okay, Elder done got disconnected, amen. And well, definitely check on Elder. He's a Page Plus representative, amen. If you desire, amen, to get plugged in on a discount, definitely, amen, I will give you his information, amen. If you email Nathan on the spot at Outlook.com, And Pastor Hill will definitely pass the information on to me, amen, in Jesus' name. Support, amen, Apostle Marcus Dupree, Eagle Wings International Ministry. They are doing big things, amen. Amen. Definitely, if you don't know about them, you better Google them. Go on the social media sites. They are on there, amen, in Jesus' name. We love you, amen. We'll be back here on Sunday night. We got God's Messenger in the building. But throughout the week, man, we got various telecasts. On tomorrow, Tuesday, you got Let the Lord Build a House. Thursday, you got Dr. Ventura, the theologian, a good friend of mine. He'll be on Thursday. And I'll be back with you on Sunday for Kingdom Voices, where I interview the very best in gospel lyricists, gospel singers, praise and worship, rhythm and praise. We had the anointed Alabama Spirituals last night. We had a joyous time, and you need to go back in the archive and listen to it. We had these awesome men of God. They are Dove nominee gospel award-winning group. They was on there last night, man. We had church, man, play some songs off their album, man. I'll tell you, that quartet sound good, man. That music good. I tell you, man, them boys got it. They've been doing it for 25 years, so definitely go in the archive. Check them out. Amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have God's Messenger. He's an anointed singer, amen. He come all the way from Boston, Massachusetts. He will be on Sunday, and we'll be back next Monday night on the Mantle of God, amen, Empowerment Program. Next Monday night at 9, more announcements will be made, amen, in the next coming weeks, amen. I think it's Pastor Tory on next Monday night, so you definitely want to set yourself for that anointed man of God. He's raising the bar in that pastoral office, amen. My God, he's teaching prophets and apostles, amen. My God, I mean, he goes in. So definitely stay tuned for that. Any further announcements, Apostle?
No, I think that's about it. Just thank you for having me on tonight. I really enjoyed myself. Had a great time. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Go ahead and close us out in prayer, Apostle. Humble myself to the authority God has you walking in. Amen.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence tonight, that you're here right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for what you've said, you've done, even for what we experienced of your presence tonight. Now, Lord, I thank you, even as we go forth, we bind the spirit of retaliation right now in the name of Jesus, that the enemy will not come against any of us in Jesus' mighty name for what's been shared or even what's been said. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand and your touch being upon each and every one, even upon this wonderful ministry. Thank you, Lord God, for just continuing to prosper them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for your hand, your touch being upon each and every one of us, Lord, that we should go forth to fulfill your gospel, fulfill your word, Lord God, even to share your word. And we thank you right now for the greater experiences that we're about to have in you, in your presence. Thank you, Lord God, for showing yourself strong in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God, for even signs and wonders following, even yokes destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. So we thank you, Father, as we walk out the Great Commission. Thank you for the results of your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the Mantle of God Empowerment Program brought to you by Nathan on the Spot. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. We're gone.
Amen. God bless you.
in my mind.